Greetings. We just concluded our 1 week of prayer and fasting. And I pray, and I like to believe that you had a closer encounter with God. And I'm sure there are a lot of amazing things that has happened during this time of prayer and fasting. Let's praise God for giving us the privilege of praying for our country, our family, and the world. Today, I'd like to share with you something that's very important and very close to my heart. Because all of us, sooner or later, will experience something like this. The world is not fair. You think it is not fair. My topic today is this. When life seems unfair, focus on God. What do we mean by life seems unfair? These are our basic belief system. When bad things happen to bad people, that's okay. Good things must happen to good people. That's what we expect. However, when bad things happen to good people, that's problematic. What's even worse? When good things happen to bad people, how can that be? The reality is there are many things in life which I don't always understand, which does not always make sense. It seems unfair. For example, the guy by the name of Walter Ruff. This guy was responsible for murdering 250,000 Jewish people. He invented the gas chamber. Even though he was arrested, he escaped. Then eventually he fled to South America and he was never brought back to justice, even though they issued a warrant of arrest for him. It seems not fair. Somebody was guilty of murdering 250,000 people will somehow just live free for the rest of his life. What about something closer to the Philippines, to us? When Senator Ninoy Aquino was assassinated, I remember we were all shocked. How can something like this happen in broad daylight covered by the media? What is so sad is up to now, people don't know who murdered former Senator Ninoy Aquino. This is something that all of us struggle with. Where is God? It's not fair. I remember a dear friend of mine, after coming to Jesus Christ, he began to have problems. His wife left him, and then slowly his business began to have problems. So when he asked me, what is God doing? I can honestly tell you, at that time, I don't know the answer. But I told him, I know God loves you. I know God is good. But right now, I don't know why. Many years later, believe it or not, his business was restored. Many years later, 20 plus years later, his wife came back to him. We don't always know why. It seems unfair. Psalm 73 tells us of a similar experience of the psalmist. The author was Asaph. Asaph was a musician appointed by King David to head the musical worship department of the temple. And this is what he wrote. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. As for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Do you understand his problem? He begins by saying, God is good. God is good to those who are pure in heart. That's basic theology. God is good to those who are good, to those who are pure. Except there's a problem. My feet came close to stumbling. He said, I almost lost my belief in God. What happened? I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. his eyes was focused on people, especially the wicked. And he said, they seem to be prospering. What's wrong? Today, I'm going to share with you three main principles you will learn in Psalm 73. When life seems unfair, focus on God. Check your perspective. Verse 1 to 15, align your perspective. 16 to 22, develop eternal perspective. So how do we do that? Let's begin. The psalmist is now saying his perspective was causing him problem. Why? Look at what he said. There are no pains in their death. Their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. What the psalmist is saying is these guys seems to have no problem, no pain. Not only no pain, they have no trouble. They are not plagued like men. Their pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. On top of that, they are proud people. They are displaying their pride. They are boasting. Their eye bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their heart runs riot. He's now describing, I have a hard time understanding, God, your fairness. These people don't seem to have a problem. And he continues describing them. But you notice, I underline the word they, their. His eyes was focused on people. Notice the next verse. They mock. They speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue parades through the earth. What is the psalmist saying? Not only are these people prospering, they are also boasting. Look at the emphasis of their mouth, their words. What are they saying? They mock God. Their mouth, they speak a lot of things that are not godly. Notice, these people return to this place. Waters of abundance are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? Is there knowledge with the Most High? In other words, these verses is describing how the psalmist viewed the ungodly. They boast. Their pride is being displayed. And notice what he said. These are the wicked, always at ease. They've increased in wealth. Can you now see why he was jealous? In fact, it affected him so much that he said, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. I don't know if you have this experience. Sometimes you ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth following Jesus Christ? Is it worth it following Jesus? I don't compromise. I don't cheat. I pay my taxes properly. I am faithful to my wife. And yet, I look at my life. I'm hurting. I'm having problems. Compared to my friends, they don't follow God. They are corrupt. They cheat. And everything seems to be okay. That was the problem of Asaph in Psalm 73. He said, in vain I've kept my heart pure, washed my hands in innocence. Is it worth it? I've been stricken all day long, chastened every morning. Not only are the wicked prospering, he said, I'm having problem. I look at my life. I'm still having problem today. And notice, he said, if I had said I would speak like this, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. He caught himself. He said, if I keep saying these things, I would have betrayed my testimony and your testimony, Lord, if I keep saying these things. So what did he do? This is the amazing thing about the grace of God. You got to check your perspective. His perspective is based on what he has seen. Now, is that the right one? you need to check. Second, you need to align your perspective. You know, I'm reminded of the story of a group of blind men. They were led to the zoo, and they were asked to describe an elephant. What is an elephant? Well, this is amazing. The first blind man got the tail of the elephant, and he said, the elephant must be a rope. The second blind man touched the side of the elephant, and he said, no, the elephant is a wall. Then the third blind man was able to touch the leg of the elephant, and he said, an elephant is a tree. The fourth one touched the ear, and the ear was moving. He said, the elephant is a fan. The next one touched the trunk of the elephant, and he said, the elephant is a big snake. And the last one touched the tusk of the elephant, and he said, the elephant is a spear. Many times, we look at life, and we don't see the whole picture. We jump to conclusion. Our perspective has to be aligned with truth. I remember going to the Middle East and looking at the carpet, and I noticed one day I was looking at the wrong side of the carpet. I was looking at the back, and I told the owner, I said, how come your carpet is not so bright, the color? And he said, sir, you are looking at the wrong side. Okay, this is the wrong side. Many times when we look at life, we're looking from this side of heaven. We should look from another perspective. Perspective is crucial. And sometimes your life is so topsy-turvy. You don't know what's happening. It's like a puzzle. It is so messy. You don't know what's happening. But one day, when everything will fit in together, you realize, wow, puzzle can be something we don't understand now, but someday we will fully understand. That's why Psalm 73 is about when life seems unfair, when it does not make sense to you, what do? You check your perspective. Many times our perspective is not the right one. We're looking from the wrong angle. And then you have to align your perspective. Why is perspective so important? Do you recall the T principle, T-E-A? Thinking affects your emotion. Emotions affect your action. Well, your perspective affects your thinking. Many people don't realize perspective will impact the way you think. And the way you think is going to impact your emotion, and it will impact your action. So how will you change your thinking? You have to adjust your perspective. For example, this is the key verse in Psalm 73. This is the major verse. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. What is the meaning? The writer is saying, when I was thinking, I was so bothered. I could not understand. It was troublesome in my sight. Then something happened. He entered the sanctuary of God. Another word for worship. Another word for focusing on God. When he entered to worship God, what happened? His perspective was changed. The Bible tells us, then I perceived their end. You see, your perspective can be very narrow. It can be very temporal. But God will help us just like Aesop. God helped him to see the big picture. Not just what's happening today, but what's going to happen in the future. Many times, our perspective is so temporal. We need to have a bigger picture. We need to learn to see the long term, the eternal. Many times, our perspective is all about temporal things, but not eternal. So when we talk about perspective, we need to learn to see things from a big perspective, from the perspective of God. And only God can help us. That's why you need to align. What does it mean to enter the sanctuary of God? When you enter to worship God, guess what happened? In any place of worship, the scriptures are read. You begin to study God's revelation, His Word. That's important. Perspective comes when we study the Word of God. Perspective comes when you begin to pray. These past few days, many of us have been reading the Bible, fasting and praying. I'm sure many of you, God has revealed Himself. God has given you ideas because God will help us think properly. Perspective can only change by the grace of God. What happens when you worship? You meditate. You focus on God, His promises, His greatness. And that is what happened when he entered the sanctuary of God and then he saw the big picture. What is the big picture? Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they're destroyed in a moment. They're utterly swept away by sudden terror. In other words, God showed him, you see the wicked prospering now? God is saying, watch. Because suddenly, we don't know when, but justice, judgment will come. And the Bible tells us, they are in dangerous places today, the wicked. Those who are not walking with God, you are standing in slippery ground. The destination will be destruction. They are destroyed in a moment. It's going to be sudden. How sudden? Look at what the psalmist is saying. Like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. The psalmist is saying, God, right now, you're allowing the wicked to continue. The Bible tells us it is the patience of God, the grace of God, that allows sinners to continue living. But His desire is for them to repent. Therefore, it says here, O Lord, when aroused, when the day comes, when you will take actions, you will despise their form. There will be judgment. When my heart was embittered, I was pierced within. He's talking about when he could not understand God, he was bitter. He didn't know what was happening. I was pierced. I was in pain because I don't understand why God, a good God, will allow the wicked to continue. And then he said, I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Do you know what he's saying? When you spend time with God, you begin to adjust your perspective, even perspective about yourself. He saw himself. He said, I was acting like an animal. I was acting in ignorance. Friends, many times you and I don't see ourselves. But when we enter the presence of God, spend time and meditate, God will allow you to see His perspective and you can begin to see yourself. You will notice as you read Psalm 73, the pronoun changing as you go through the book of Psalm. The first part, probably from verse 1 to 12, 13, you have 12 times the pronoun they. He was focusing on others. And then the next part, the pronoun is about I. He was focusing on himself. He felt sorry. And then the next part of this psalm is about you. When his perspective was changed, he began to change the pronoun you, and then eventually you and I. And that is a wonderful way of reminding ourselves. When you focus on people's circumstances, it's going to affect your perspective. When you focus on yourself, it's going to affect your perspective. But when you focus on God, just like the Psalms, then you begin to realize your perspective is changed. It's God and you. When life seems unfair, what do we do? Check our perspective. Align our perspective. with God's perspective and develop eternal perspective. Why is this so important? Developing eternal perspective. Because our concept of right and wrong, good or bad, what is fair, what is not fair, our concept of what is important, what is not important, has to be aligned with God, with the truth. And many times, we don't take time to pause and examine how we see things. May I suggest in this world, you have only the following major perspective. One, the biblical perspective from God, what He says. Or the perspective of the world, the philosophy of the world. Two major perspectives, from God or from the world, secular philosophy. And many times you don't take time to think. And that's why I like this quotation from Oswald Chambers. Oswald Chambers once said, "The reality about death has an amazing power of altering what a man desires, because death profoundly affects his outlook." Let me repeat. According to Oswald Chambers, the reality of death has an amazing power of adjusting, altering, aligning what we want, what we desire, because death profoundly affects his outlook, his perspective. You will notice young people and mature people have different perspectives. My wife and I were just speaking this morning how we have lost many of our loved ones. I have 2 brothers, 2 sisters, and I already lost my sister-in-law. I've lost my brother-in-law. Death is reality. And when you think about the reality of death, values changes. You begin to learn to see the big picture. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. My perspective, instead of just temporal, I'm beginning to see the big picture. And Jesus gave us an amazing reality about perspective. He talks about how some people will fight over money, how some people will value materialism as the most important thing. And this is what he said in Luke chapter 12. He told them a parable. Now, the parable, the background, is the man they were fighting for inheritance. And he said, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods." From a worldly perspective, this man was smart. You know why? His perspective. He was thinking of the future. He's saying, "Hey, I need to expand. You see, there's nothing wrong. The land was very productive." And he was thinking, reasoning, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. I will expand. This is what I will do." In other words, your perspective impacts your behavior, except there's a problem. According to the story, this man's perspective was not big enough. "Look, I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. To come, take your ease, eat and drink, and be merry.'" Isn't that the desire of every businessman that you know? They want to reach a point where they can retire. Eat, drink, and be merry. They think of retirement. They think of the future. What's wrong? Nothing wrong, except that perspective is too narrow. It's not wide enough. It is not broad enough. You know why? You only think of your earthly future. This is what God is saying. "But God said to him, 'You fool. You fool. Why? This very night, your soul is required of you, And now, who will own what you have prepared? In other words, notice sudden. Sometimes death will come suddenly. There's no warning. Suddenly, this very night, your soul is required of you. Now the question is this: who will own what you have prepared? You see, perspective is important. Why do we spend so much time neglecting the eternal? Neglecting what is more important? Why? I don't blame the people of the world. Can I tell you why? That's their perspective. That's what they know. That's what they believe. But I feel sad for so-called Christians, for so-called believers. You know the Bible. You know that life on earth is not the end. You and I know there's eternity. So shame on us when we don't act properly. That's exactly what Jesus meant. You are a fool. Don't be a fool. Don't be jealous of the ungodly. Don't be jealous when things are not right in this world. Why? Our perspective must be eternal. Develop the big picture. This is what God wants us to develop. So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. God is saying develop eternal perspective. God wants us to be rich. But rich, not in this world. It's okay to be rich in this world. But God is saying, I want you to have treasures in heaven. You know, I'm reminded of a true story. This guy was a multi-billionaire. And when he died, he left everything to his wife. The wife fell in love with the driver. And they got married. And the driver told the wife, for many years, I thought I was serving your husband. I thought I was working for your husband. I did not realize your husband was working for me. Perspective. How much can you bring? The wicked. What about their future? And notice the psalmist. His perspective was changed. This is what he said. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me. Afterward, receive me to glory. Notice, the first thing he realized after seeing the big picture, I am continually with you. He realized that God is with him. I am continually with you. The presence of God. You see, when you worship God, your perspective changes. God becomes real. And then he said, you will take hold of my right hand. God, you are going to guide me. Not just the presence of God, not just the protection of God, but the guidance of God. And above all, look at what he said. Afterward, you will receive me to glory. He sees the eternal picture. After this life, you'll receive me in glory. Have you ever thought about the glorious future of God's people? Has your perspective changed? Nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this world. I praise God. God has blessed us. You look at the trees, you look at the grass, you look at nature. Praise God, it's a beautiful world. Yes, there are problems, but the world is beautiful. Flowers, the trees, the plants, the birds, the animals. But God is saying there's something even better. Our eternal future, the glory. And you know what God tells us? How glorious it is. It is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, has God prepared for those who love him. Notice, things which eye has not seen. The most beautiful things in this world will not compare to what God has prepared for us. What ear has not heard, the most beautiful music, the most beautiful words, the most beautiful things, is nothing compared to what God has prepared. Things which have not entered the heart of man. No matter how great is your imagination, you can imagine the most beautiful thing in heaven, the most amazing adventure you'll ever have. The Bible says it is still nothing compared to what God has in store for you and for me. Let me just share with you a few verses from the Bible about our future so that you have this eternal perspective. Notice the glory. He will dwell among them. The very presence of God will be with us. What else? The Bible tells us He will wipe away every tear. No more crying. This is amazing. No longer any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying. Can you imagine a place? No more death. No more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. The glorious future that you have is something promised. This is what the Bible says. He who sits on the throne, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, said, I am making all things new. All things new. Whatever has happened to you, mistakes, your past life, God is saying, I'm going to make all things new. Notice, right, for these words are faithful and true. He's saying, I promise this, it will surely happen. God is saying, you have a glorious future. What is your perspective about eternity, about God? If you keep reading the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21, the Bible describes that the place where we will be staying, the wall is made of jasper. These are precious stones. The city is made of pure gold. This is describing how beautiful our future is going to be. Perhaps the writer is running out of words. So how do you describe the most beautiful place? In other words, it's a beautiful place. And if you keep reading, the Bible tells us the most beautiful thing is the presence of God. The Bible says, I saw no temple. The Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. So the Bible is very clear. God's presence. And the Bible says, you don't need the sun. You don't need the moon. The glory of God will illuminate. But notice the qualification. To enter that glorious future, there is a qualification. The qualification says, nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible tells us when you come to Jesus, your names are written in the Book of Life. In that place, no more curse. In that place, Jesus will be with us. I love this. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and we will serve Him. People ask me, what will happen? Well, the Bible tells us, you will see His face. Intimacy with God. Not only that, no longer be any night, no more night. What else? They will not have need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. The most amazing thing, you and I will reign with Jesus forever and ever. No wonder when Dwight L. Moody, a man of God, was about to die, this is what he said. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious. I see earth receding, heaven opening, and God is calling me. I have witnessed many of God's people dying. My latest one was my sister-in-law. Before she died, she told my brother, the angels are coming. Jesus is waiting for me. Another person who died very well was none other than John Wesley. This is what John Wesley said. The best of all is God is with us. The best of all is God is with us. You know, Psalm 73 tells us He will receive us in glory. God's people, they die very well. People who don't know God, they die horribly. If you have this perspective, you will not be jealous of the ungodly. Notice how he closed. He said, "Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Notice, because his perspective was adjusted. He experienced intimacy with God, your presence, your protection, your guidance, and my security. You will bring me to glory. His conclusion, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" In other words, no matter how beautiful heaven is, for him, the most precious thing in heaven is Jesus himself, the person of God. "Besides you, I desire nothing on earth." Even earth will not compare to God. My friend, that's perspective. And I pray that your eyes will be open to see that in this world, everything we have is temporal. Everything in this world is nothing compared to God and to Jesus, the lover of my soul, the one who died for us. And the Bible tells us, "God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." This is an amazing truth. That at the end of your life, the only thing you will have is God. God is our portion. I guarantee you, everything will be left behind. Your money, your stock certificates, your real estate and investment, your cars. Everything in this world will be left behind except God. Is that your perspective? He declares the following. In conclusion, he said, "Behold, those who are far from you will perish." It's a certainty. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. So his first conclusion is the contrast. Those who don't know God will surely perish. And then the contrast. "The nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." Let me explain to you these two verses. When he said, "Those who are far from you will perish," what does that mean? Well, the Bible is very clear. The word perish does not just mean you cease existence. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, the Bible tells us, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us someday justice will be served. When Jesus comes again, what's going to happen? It's very clear. When Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, this is judgment day. He tells us, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus, there will be judgment. To those who don't know God, to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's very clear. What kind of retribution? The Bible is very clear. The Bible says, this will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from his power. The word penalty of eternal destruction, the word eternal destruction, it does not mean cessation of activities. It does not mean you don't feel anything anymore. That phrase, penalty of eternal destruction, has the following meaning. You lose your well-being. That same word is used to describe the wineskin that is torn. You lose your well-being. You don't lose consciousness. Your well-being is lost. You know why it is lost? Because you are away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. away from God's presence is the worst nightmare you can ever have. Away from the glory of His presence is the worst thing that you can experience. And the Bible says it is eternal. The loss of well-being. In contrast, when He comes to be glorified in His saints, you see, God and His people will be glorified on that day and be marveled at among all who have believed. Our testimony to you was believe. My message to you is the same today. Wherever you are, I want you to realize when the world seems unfair, relax. You focus on God. Why? Because many times our perspective is wrong. When you focus on God, you'll align your perspective. When you focus on God, you will develop eternal perspective. When your perspective is changed, you can honestly say, the nearness of God is my good. The very presence of God is my good. That is perspective. I have made the Lord God my refuge. You find your security in God. He's the most important thing. Why? Eternal perspective. That is divine perspective. That I may tell of all your works. Somebody whose perspective is affected, your thinking will change, your emotions will change, your actions will change. And what action? I noticed something. People who know God, people who are intimate with God, whose perspectives are eternal, you know what they do? They talk about God. They declare all of His works. You know, my pleasure and my privilege and my delight is to tell of all the works of the Lord. My friend, if things don't make sense, if life seems unfair, you focus on God. God is our ultimate good. If God has spoken to you today and you would like to experience the reality of His goodness, His presence, I'd like you to pray a simple prayer. It is asking God to change your perspective. It is coming to God, asking Him to help you. The prayer is something like this. Lord Jesus, will you adjust my perspective? I want to know you. Lord Jesus, I realize that what is important to you is really who you are. You died on the cross for my sins. So we now invite you, Lord. I invite you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, come into my life, come into my heart so that my mind, my perspective will change. I accept your gift of forgiveness. I accept your promise of glory, your promise of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's a special song I'd like you to hear. This is a song composed by my daughter about the beauty of life after death. It's a song that is from the Bible. It talks about we are finally home. This song was written to comfort those whose loved ones have died. We have many members who are affected by COVID-19. But when I heard this song, when I read the words of this song, I'm home. I'm home. It's very touching. These are the lyrics. I close my eyes and wake up to eternity. I see the light, the face of Jesus Christ. I hear His voice calling out my name, saying, well done, my good and faithful child. You are finally home. You are finally home.
I close my eyes and wake up to eternity. I see the light of the face of Jesus Christ. I hear His voice calling out my name.
presence of my King. I'm finally home, bowed at His throne, worshiping His majesty. There's no place I'd rather be. Full of love and hope and peace. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in store for those who love Him. Joy abounds. Streets of gold, springs of life, a light that shines forth from His glory. It's everlasting.
If this message has been meaningful to you and you'd like to chat with us, you have questions, please click on the space provided below. We will be happy to answer your questions. We'll be happy to chat with you. God bless. I have some suggestions on how to discuss the message with your family members or with your small group. Feel free to add more questions. Question number one, what experiences have you encountered that you felt were unfair? How did you process it? Question number two, why is it not healthy to compare yourself with others and focus on circumstances? Our temptation is to look at people, to focus on people and circumstances. And that's why we feel bad. Why is that not healthy? Why is focusing on God so important when you're discouraged? What kind of perspective should you have? This is so crucial. Develop this habit when you're so down, when you're so discouraged. Focus on the Lord. Spend time with Him. Read His Word. Study. pray. How will you apply this message in your life? You know, I always encourage people, it is not enough to hear. You must apply. It is not enough to know the truth. We must apply the truth in our lives. Focus on application. God bless.
Thanks for watching. We would like to invite you to be a Christ-committed follower by being part of the movement as we honor God and obey His great commission. To find out if there's a CCF satellite near you, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/satellites. We also want to encourage you to join a small discipleship group where you can deepen your knowledge and love for Jesus and others. To sign up, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/discipleshipgroup. All of CCF's video resources are available free of charge and are constantly being improved by our team. Would you consider supporting CCF through prayer and giving so more people can be blessed? You can give securely through our website at www.ccf.org.ph/give. For more videos like this, please subscribe to our channel. Thanks and God bless.